Mark chapter 13, starting in verse 5, read down to verse 13. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a good and gracious God to us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand your word and to be challenged by it. Father, we thank you for the witness of those who knew your Son here on earth, and the testimony that they have borne of him in the four Gospels. And Lord, we thank you that we can rely upon these Gospels, not only because eyewitnesses attested to them, but because your Holy Spirit has inspired the writing. And Lord, we have seen the power of these Gospels in our lives. Father, we thank you for how wonderful a God you are. Amen. This morning, we're going to start with looking in verse 11. And verse 11, we find a verse that often gets taken different ways. "But when they shall lead you up and deliver you, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak. Neither premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye." And I have heard some pastors take this as their reason for not preparing before coming to preach. And I hope not to be one of those pastors. They are applying the, "I don't know what God's going to lead me to preach until I get up there," in the wrong place. We have a very specific set of circumstances around which we should give no thought beforehand, but rather be ready to speak what the Spirit leads us. And these circumstances are when we are taken up, as it says there in verse 9. "They shall deliver you up to councils. Ye shall be beaten. Ye shall be brought before kings for my sake." In those circumstances, then take no thought. When you are delivered up, and it underlines that in verse 11. It says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought." As a young Christian, I was often interested in certain books on my dad's shelf. He had lots of different books. Some of them were of more value than others. One of the books that I often would look at and study was the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a thrilling read. Now, for a history book, that's saying something. Okay? It's a thrilling read because the descriptions of the people and what they went through in standing for Christ is not a dry historical record. I recommend, if you have opportunity, take a look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will encourage you that there have been people willing to stand for Christ throughout the ages since Jesus Christ went up to be in glory. Since that time, there have been many willing to stand, to suffer, and even to die for their Savior. That's not the only one. There are a few other books you can read that describe the same sort of thing. Another one that I've read at great length was The Martyr's Mirror. It's a little bit harder reading just because it's so dark. It goes over mostly the time period in the Spanish Inquisition when so many were being accused of loving Christ and so were put to death. But the testimonies that were given were strong, and often as a young Christian, I would think about it and I'd say, I don't know if I could be a martyr. I don't know if I could stand that kind of a trial. I don't know if I have what it takes. Thankfully, we're not actually called to be strong enough to stand for Christ. Instead, Jesus gives us strength in the midst of our trial to stand for Him. In the same way as we don't have to have the perfect words before we face trials, instead, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. Now, I'm going to give us a short illustration. This is one of the early martyrs. His name was Polycarp, and some of you may have heard of him. All of his writings are interesting to read. For those of you who like reading, you have to get a translation. It's all written in Latin and Greek and stuff, so it's not really, you know, accessible to us. You have to get a translation of it. But Polycarp defends the gospel at great length. And when he was 86 years old, or shortly after, he says he's 86 in his testimony at his death, he was brought to be put to death. And the thing that caused him to be brought and accused was he was unwilling to burn incense to Caesar. This was the law. It was the rule. Everyone was supposed to burn incense to Caesar, calling Caesar a god. And Polycarp was unwilling to do that. And his statement was along this line: I have served Jesus during my 86 years. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and Savior? You threaten me with a fire that burns, but after a little while is quenched. You are ignoring the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. That was his statement. And, of course, that didn't please anyone. The people who had accused him of not burning incense were even more upset with him, and so they did take him and burn him at a stake, and he didn't die easily. They ended up having to spear him. But before he died, he lifted up his voice and said, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that in the company of martyrs I may share in the cup of Christ. This was Polycarp's testimony, and those are the loose translations. I'm sure you could maybe find out the specific words yourself. That's as close as I was able to get to what he stated. He loved Jesus. As he was standing there being led, he wasn't needing to worry, what am I going to say? What kind of testimony am I going to have? Am I going to be able to be a good witness for Christ? Am I going to stumble over my words? Instead of worrying as he was led to the judgment and then led to his death, he was able to lift up his eyes unto heaven and rely upon the God who had saved him to give him the words necessary. It changes your attitude. Again, like I was saying, when I was younger, thinking, I don't think I would be strong enough to be a martyr for God. You know, you start lighting me on fire and I'm probably going to become a bit cowardly. Do I have the strength to endure that? Do I have the strength And would I be eloquent enough to speak for Christ even under that punishment and pain? But that's the wrong question. That's the wrong way to view it. As a Christian, we should be praising God and looking to Him saying, God, help me to be a witness even now. God, give me strength. You see the difference? Worrying about whether I'm strong enough is failing to acknowledge that it is God speaking through me if it is going to be worthwhile. It is ignoring God's strength. He's the one who promised here in this passage that some of us would be delivered up. We would be judged. We would be beaten. We would die and give testimony. God's the one who promised that. If God told us that was going to happen, then He is the one who will sustain us. And if we are instead praying, God, give me strength today for what I am going to face, regardless of what the day may hold, maybe today a new law will be passed and we will retroactively be guilty for every time that we stepped into a church building. If that happens, God will uphold us. God will give us the witness. Or perhaps today we will leave this building and we will go through perhaps the roughest time we might ever face and our families might turn on us and attack us. Yet it is not we who need to be strong enough. It is we must rely on God. We must rely on Him. And so my challenge to you from this verse is that each day you need to be ready, not to face death, but ready to let God speak through you. Ready to let God give you the strength necessary. Not viewing your day as, I think I can handle today. I think I have enough strength to make it through today. I've planned it out. I'm healthy enough. I'm going to accomplish my will today. Instead, saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do today, give me the strength to do it. Give me the wisdom to see what it is you want me to do, and then give me the strength to do it. God, I am a man of uncircumcised lips, unclean lips, as Isaiah might say. And then rely upon God to give you clean lips. Or like Moses, God, I cannot speak. I have a stammering tongue. And then God says, I made the tongue. I can help you to speak. And in that particular instance, God gave Moses someone else to speak for him. But we should be relying upon God. We should not be looking at this and saying, okay, do I have enough faith? Let's work ourselves up in case we face troubles, trials, in case we face martyrdom. But rather, do we love God? Do we rely upon Him? Do we depend upon Him? Because if we depend upon Him, He will not let us down. He will not let us down. He will give us the strength to stand for Him. Polycarp was, like I said, 86 years old, and I'll just let you know a few other little details about his life. He was put to death around AD 55 or thereabouts. We don't have the exact date. There's a couple of indications that within a decade of that time, AD 55. He was at least about 86 years old, because that's what he describes, that he had served God, and in his 86 years he had never been let down by Jesus. He knew by his own testimony and other writings John the Apostle. He had met him as a young boy. This was his claim, and he went all over the known world, the Roman Empire, encouraging the churches, correcting the churches. He wrote epistles that we still have access to today. They're not part of our Bible, but they are epistles confirming things out of Scripture, where he confirms doctrines like that there are pastors and teachers in churches and deacons, even at his date. And he was correcting people's understanding of doctrine and saying, I heard from John the Apostle this. I was taught by him. Here's the doctrine that he told me. He was still bearing witness to that. Polycarp loved God and served him in many different churches. He was martyred, and he gave testimony in with his last breath there about how good God was, and thanking God for being worthy to suffer for Christ. That is truly an astounding testimony. Someone might be willing to die and say, well, I've lived 86 years and I want to, you know, double down on all the things I said were true, and I don't want anyone to think I'm, you know, lying about it. But that kind of, you know, stirring yourself up will only get you to the part where they're lashing you to the stake and lighting the fire, at which point you might cry out, no, I give up, that's enough. I'll burn that incense. You know, it's a little thing. Burn some incense before Caesar, Caesar's statue or whatever. That's not a big deal. But no, he was convinced that God had saved him, that Jesus' death was for him, and that he was not going to face eternal punishment and eternal fire. This was Polycarp's testimony. And we should not worry about whether we would be strong enough to stand up to go to death for our Savior, but we should be 100% convinced that Jesus Christ is our King and Savior. And then we can rely on Him to give us strength, no matter what trial He brings us to. I want us to see in verse 13 here, Mark chapter 13, we saw in verse 11 that when we are delivered, then we will be given whatsoever we should speak, and we will be speaking the words that the Holy Spirit has given us. That does imply that we are relying on the Holy Spirit to give us words, that we're not worrying ourselves about it, but instead asking God for help in that time period. But if we jump down to verse 13, it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We can rely upon our Savior. We can rely upon Him no matter what we're going through. Here, Jesus is describing these last days, and He is describing how man will be betrayed by his father, or by his children, or by, insert, anyone close to you, and that they will be put to death. And He says that He will be with us and deliver us if we endure. Here Jesus is giving the encouragement to continue faithful and not to give up. Continue faithful and don't give up. When we face someone rejecting the gospel, perhaps you've handed out tracts and someone not only doesn't accept the tract, but like spits in your face about it. They mock you for it, or they are angry because you have tried to hand them a gospel tract. Or perhaps you have seen someone at their door while you're letterboxing and you've said, let me tell you about Jesus, and they slam that door in your face and say, nah, go away, don't want to hear it. We have the opportunity to endure for Christ, to endure for Him. This doesn't mean we should become as obnoxious as possible so that we can pretend to endure, but rather that we should not let anything stop us from serving Christ. And we should not give up, no matter what kind of evil we are facing. People mock us, they reject us, or even as has happened in many other countries. And I say this not because I expect in my lifetime Australia to turn its back so far on its Christian so-called heritage that it begins persecution, but it has happened in other places where Christ's name was allowed to be spoken for a time, and then people became more and more persecuted for it. Or with a change of government, and all of a sudden there is no more permission to speak of Christ. If we give up, how pathetic we are. Even if our friends and family are betraying us, don't give up on Christ, because He still is your deliverer. He is still the one who offers you salvation. Do not give up on Him. There's many ways we could illustrate or encourage us to stand strong for God. Perhaps the one that strikes me the strongest is Jesus looked at you when you were a sinner, when you were His enemy, when you were opposed to God. And He did not turn His back on you or say, I've lived a good life here, and I've helped people out, and I've pointed people to walking right in the Jewish nation, and, I'm not going to go to the death. That's not what Jesus did. He was willing to suffer. And not just die, because surely there are other ways that He could have died. But He was willing to die in shame. He was willing to die openly. He was willing to suffer in His death, enduring all of that for us. How could we give up on Him so quickly? There are some people who have claimed the name of Christ from time to time and turned their back on Him. And it's quite revealing how little it takes for some people to renounce their profession of faith. Most people don't require being brought up before a judge and threatened with death. For some people, it is merely being asked a question that they can't answer. And because their pride won't allow them to admit that God knows more than I do, that I'm not going to understand or know everything, they falter and cast aside their profession of faith. Others stop going to church and leave their faith because someone was mean to them at church. You say, Pastor John, you're overblowing it. No, I actually know one particular young man in Wagan. I've been praying for him for years. He and I were able to work together and we became close, but he had professed Christ in a church very similar to this one, an independent Baptist church. And he had been on fire for God for a few years. As from outward appearances, everyone thought he was headed towards preaching. And he then took offense because of what some people said to him at church. And so he stopped going to church. And he, by the time I met him, didn't even claim to be saved. He said, no, I'm not saved. I don't have any assurance that God has rescued me. He turned his back. And it's very telling that he went from professing Christ boldly to walking away just because a few people said something mean to him at church. That is a warning for all of you. Let's not be mean towards one another, but also let's be made of sterner stuff. Let's not take such offense that we leave following Christ just because some Christians don't act very Christ-like. What does it take for you to reject Christ, to stop enduring? For some people, they turn away because they were offended or because they were attacked. And some turn away because they've read something or couldn't answer a question. Instead of saying, I know the Bible says this, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, I'm going to trust God. Yes, there are details I don't understand. There are things in the Bible that are hard to be understood and can easily be twisted. But I will not leave off trusting Christ because He has rescued me. He endured great suffering for me. And there are others who reject Jesus Christ because their feelings have changed. And I do wonder, those who have turned away and no longer profess Christ, were they ever saved? Because if you were rescued by one who gave his life for you, could you casually, for such an insignificant price, turn away from him and deny his name? I don't think you could. I don't think it's possible, if Christ has truly rescued you, to turn away for such small, insignificant things. Our God knows the end from the beginning. And He knows whether those who have professed and then said they don't know Christ or they're not sure, He can sort that out, and I'll leave that in His hands. But we can trust God. What is it that we are facing in this next week that we know about? God will carry you through. What is it that will come up unexpectedly and feel like a betrayal of parent betraying his son or children betraying their parents? Will you commit, I will stand with Christ no matter what. I don't want to reject him no matter what. He is the one who has rescued me. I don't care if it costs me everything. It cost Jesus everything. I will follow him wherever he leads me. I will follow him no matter the cost. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. He won't reject us after he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't turn around then and say, but. No, even if I forget, yet still God is faithful. Many of us have perhaps, well, hopefully many of us have seen this. I've seen this on at least two occasions where there was someone who was saved. And as they got later in life, they began to forget things. They forgot many things. They forgot their children's names. They forgot everything about their life. They would forget what day it is. They would forget how old they were. They forgot everything. But they still remember Jesus. And some people would say, oh, that's just, they were conditioned as kids. Some of them weren't. One of the ladies in particular I remember, she was saved as an adult. She wasn't remembering things from her adulthood except Jesus. She was thinking she was a child. And yet she remembered Jesus. She remembered his name. She was smiling when she talked about him. And she wanted to sing about him. This is beyond understanding unless we say God is faithful. Even if we were to forget everything, God will remind us that we are his because God is good. We can trust him. We can rely on him. So, in closing, we're not called to worry about whether we are fit to be martyrs, but instead we are called to rely upon our precious Savior. Depend on the fact that he will not change. The same one who saved us will keep us, and he will give us strength and the words to say and whatever we are in need of to serve him up until the very last day, because he is a faithful and good God. And so we need to make very sure we are saved, and then make it a core part of our belief that we will not turn from him no matter what. We won't turn from him. We will serve him to our dying day if he gives us the strength to do it. And if he, as Polycarp says, if he judges us worthy of the honor of serving him till we're 86, we're going to serve him till we're 86. And if he judges us worthy to endure suffering, we will praise his name for that as well. And if we go to the death, God will give us the words to speak that we can bear testimony before kings, before those who have authority here on this earth, and we can bring testimony to them. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to truly be convinced of your faithfulness, and Lord, that we would not be fearful or worried, but rather that we would be confident, not in ourselves, but in you, confident that you will be with us today, that you will be with us through every task that we face, and that you will be with us through every trial that we may come to have to bear. And Father, we ask that you would keep us safe through this week, but Lord, more that you would keep us close to you. Father, we want to serve you. We have already proven you true. We have proven you faithful to your word in salvation, and Lord, we ask that you help us to prove you faithful with the rest of our lives. Amen.